Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Hello, geeks. It is Social Geek Radio once again, bringing back a very good friend and former guest of the show. It's Nancy Friedman, the telephone doctor.
Little drum roll, please. Drum roll.
Hello, doctor. How are you?
Good to talk with you, Mr. Munson. I appreciate this. We got so much to share with our franchise friends. So you just ask away.
And then all right.
I need to tell you about my hair joke.
Your hair joke. Okay. I've heard a few hair jokes over the past few years. So
we'll save this for the last because I want the people to stick around.
Okay. So if anyone has not had the pleasure of one of your keynote speeches at many franchise or other types of conferences, or maybe they haven't heard you on Social Geek Radio before, give us a little backstory about the telephone doctor.
I will give you the nickel tour. It is a long, it can be an hour and a half explanation, but I promise you I'll make this quick. I picked up my phone many years ago and called my insurance agent and told him to cancel all my policies. He fell off his chair. What happened? And I said, your people stink. They're so rude. They're so abrupt. They're so unpleasant. They're so unfriendly. And I don't need that. He says, well, come over and show my guys what you guys should do. And I was working for my husband at our dial-in Weatherlines office then. And I said, okay. So I went to his office out of love. Was the last time I did it out of love, but I went to his office. And I said, say please, say thank you, say you're welcome, say have a nice day, keep a smile on your face, have fun. And they were writing Jack as fast as I could talk. And I was walking out the door, I said, thank you, goodbye. And the president of the insurance agency said, wait a minute, Nancy. I said, what's wrong? He said, well, nothing's wrong. I just wanted to thank you. I said, well, you're welcome. He says, no, you don't understand. We really learned some new things. I came home, had a drink with my husband. I said, Dick, things that you and I do, like breathing in and out, I don't understand. And Dick looked me right in the eye and said, Nancy, don't ever be surprised. No one has ever shown them. Well, fast forward, and I'll spare you all the little details. The publisher of the newspaper in Quad Cities, you had mentioned that you're close to that. The publisher of the newspaper in Quad Cities called me and said, I heard what you're doing. Come on up and train my people. Well, the first group I had was the classified section and the newsroom. And the bottom line to that is when he called me, he said, I want you to do my newsroom. I said, sir, I can cure the sick. I cannot raise the dead. I don't know about your I don't know about your newsroom people.
Journalists, forget it.
Oh, my gosh. And that still goes today. But anyway, I had the classified people and did the program. And when I was done, the editor of the Quad City Times came over and said, man, you got all the medicine for us. He had a revelation. He's I'm going to call you the doctor. I'm going to call you the telephone doctor. And I ran home to Dick. I said, Dick, somebody called me the telephone doctor. What'll we do? He said, let's go get it registered. We're going to have some fun. So fun we've been having. Fast forward, we did become, and this a lot of my clients don't even know because I forget to tell them. We were a franchisor about 8, 10, 12 years ago. I wanted to be the next Sylvan. I wanted to be, you know, building on every block. Holding telephone doctor meetings. But what happened is a story that I believe our franchising industry needs to hear. Can I go on?
Yes, please.
Take the program.
Edge of my seat right now, doctor.
My guest today is Jack Munson, and I'll be letting him talk in a minute. We were doing our little shtick, as you call it. And two guys called us. I won't mention their names because they are well known in the franchise industry and I don't want to embarrass anybody. And they said, we heard about what you're doing with one location and we'd like to come and talk to you about franchising. Well, we're a small family owned business as it is, privately owned. And my husband, my son, my daughter and I said, well, sure, come on in. So they came on in and I'll spare you all the details because most of the people have been through it. They showed us a spreadsheet and the hook was in our mouth. What will happen in 6 months, what will happen in a year, what will happen in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. At the end of 5 years, you're going to have X number of franchisees, and here's the money you can make. Wow, I had no idea about that. Okay, go. So we let these two young men go about their business. And here's the downside. I was not allowed to vet them. I trusted them. Oops, I am sorry. Don't be ringing on my phone here. All right.
It's okay for the telephone doctor to get a call during the show.
It's not me. Somehow they connected the whole company to my phone here. So it doesn't, I do I don't do phones, I do people. So I don't know how to disconnect that. Okay. So the bottom line is they were very suave, impressive, nice, what I call young guys. They'd be millennials today, but they may be 35 or 40 then. And they hooked us in and we said, oh gosh, this will be great. So one by one, they got people and they sent them to us. And each one they sent, I had a negative feeling about. Didn't say anything. They're the specialists, right? Mm-hmm. Or wrong. And I say this to the emerging franchisors. Nobody knows your business like you do. Nobody knows your business like you do if you created it, invented it, started it. Nobody. So I believe that the franchisor, the originating franchisor, must be in on the vetting somehow, somewhere. Maybe not the first meeting, maybe not the second, but before the finals. Now, you say, how could I be so stupid? I wasn't stupid. I was trusting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in retrospect, now, I'll say I was stupid. We all were. We were more impressed with the dollars at that time. So what happened is we had five franchisees. Four we let go very quickly, and one we kept too long. That usually gets a big laugh when I tell franchise meetings that, because everybody has those. Now we're back to being a privately owned company, small business, 23 employees, mother, father, son, and daughter. And maybe we won't be a $15, $20 billion or million-dollar company, but we're happy. And that buys an awful lot of candy.
Oh, yeah. So what are you doing today as far as, are you still doing a lot of telephone training and going into corporations or franchise systems and showing them how they should be using this what some people consider a novel device these days of the telephone?
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to start with what I normally don't, and that's a slight negative. Somebody said to me a while back, Nancy, telephone doctor, it's sort of outdated. You should update the name. And I said, name me a corporation in the country, in the world, that doesn't have a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me one and I'll consider it. Well, it stopped them, of course. So I will not give up the name telephone doctor. It is a brand. It's been around for 30 some odd years. And it has a platform, online platform of service skills with an S, serviceskills.com, which is very big now. And the telephone doctor programs are in there. So son David is running the inside. My job is to go out and speak, yes, at conferences and meetings, et cetera, not only in the franchise, but I adore franchise, mainly because as a small business, I do identify with them. And the comment I heard from a couple small businesses, some were franchise, some weren't, was, you know, Nancy, when we bring the big guns in, when we bring in, not even going to name them, but, you know, the big companies, a $50 million company in there, got 1,000 people working for them, I'm not sure they understand the small business. And I get that. I mean,
yeah,
you got to be a small business to understand a small business. So I do a lot of small business. I do speak at large, you know, speak at huge companies and huge associations. But the passion to help a small business has not dimmed at all.
And they probably need your help now more than ever, because let's face it, in the belly of the beast at some big company, who knows what kind of crazy communication processes they have in place. But if you're a small business, you're still depending upon that phone to ring and for the person on your end of the phone to take care of a customer.
Well, you got that. You nailed that, Jack. Absolutely. But we have morphed into the 6 touch points of communication. So we do face-to-face training. We do email, voicemail, snail mail, phone, fax, and face-to-face. So we do all, what did I leave out? I left out texting. And right now, texting is a form of communication, but it's not, I don't believe, I should say, because I don't have stats on it. I don't believe it's in the mainstream. I've never heard of anybody sending a proposal, a sales proposal via text.
Right, right. I guess you could send a link and then, yeah. I guess.
It will probably get there.
Yeah.
I'm not denying it. It's just not your, when I, you know, I survey my audiences, whether I get 300 or 3,000 people, and I said, tell me what you think. And those are my, that's my, where I get our surveys from or from my audiences. So I'm getting it from the horse's mouth, and I, you know, literally, I don't have to send out forms or any SurveyMonkey's. I'm right there getting instant access information for, you know, what words bother them, you know, how do you like to be treated, et cetera. So I get real-time information from my audiences, and it's fun. But yeah, communications is probably, and I'm not changing the name to communications doctor, but any way you communicate with a company, we probably can have help you, and there's a technique for something.
Are most people, and let's stick with small business. You mentioned text, but telephone is still the primary communication channel. And I guess when I say communication channel, I'm really thinking sales channel as well, for their customers to reach out to them and transact some kind of business. You're still seeing that as the telephone is maybe not the only way, but it should be the front line.
It does beat out email, which is extremely high. They're getting close. Email, you know, does an awful lot of good and damage too. But there's places to use an email, and there's places to use a telephone. Again, one of the things I would ask anybody who's listening, and I don't care what you are. I mean, I care what you are, but I don't care what position you hold. I ask my audiences, and this is critical. I hope people have stayed to listen to this part. I want somebody to call up your own office, your own business, and ask for yourself a service or a product. We cannot fix what we do not know. I do mystery calls, and it's painful. It's very painful, but you don't need to ask. You can ask where you're located. You can ask, I need a mailing address. You can ask, how late are you open? You can ask simple little questions. You will be amazed at how people answer the phones and don't know the information that they should know. And that's how I get my business when I make a blog or something. Hey, have you called yourself lately? Ask for yourself a service or a product. And I stand on, you cannot fix what you do not know. We all think our people are good, and they should be, but maybe the good lady went to lunch. Maybe the good lady was on vacation. So did the bad lady come on the phone, or the bad guy? Not always a woman. But mystery shopping is critical in finding out the temperature. And it's not one call, it's several calls, but it's also, don't get too convoluted. There are some companies that do mystery callings that, you know, ask for your blood type. You don't need that. You're just going to, hey, I'm trying to get to your location. Where are you located?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does the other person on the other end of the phone sound like someone that you want to deal with?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and I just posted a thing on LinkedIn. Giving directions, so this has nothing to do with franchising, but giving directions is an art, not a science. I was in Milwaukee at one of the nicer malls, and I called ahead of time to a store I love, and I said, where are you guys located? She said, we're by the escalator. Oh, good, thank you. And I've never been to this mall, I've been to this city, so I go in this massive mall. There are 4 escalators.
Mm-hmm.
So after 20 minutes of finding the right one, I walked in, and I said, maybe you could say you're by the candy shop with the escalator, or maybe you can give me a better, she couldn't have cared less.
Right. Well, it was her escalator. And
exactly.
And let's face it. I think we're also dealing with a retail community that person didn't really care if you came in or not. You know, if you're the business owner, or you have some incentive, or maybe just some common professionalism, you would want to make sure a customer could actually find your store and therefore say candy shop and perhaps not escalator.
I mean, you travel a lot too, so you'll appreciate this. When we get to an airport, Dick always says, why don't they let a non-resident do the airport directions?
There you go.
I mean, think about that, because every time we go, and if you've ever been to Toronto, it's the worst, airport, you know, directions.
Yes.
And some other... Because Mr. New York or Mr. Susie, Iowa, or somebody, you know, in the depths there did it thinking he knew everything. But it's really the outsider that should be saying, you know, take a left at the tree with the, I don't know.
Right. Right. Always use Starbucks as a guide. That's my direction.
Except when there's one on each corner.
Right. Or Dunkin' Donuts in some cities.
Right. Yeah.
So when you find a company or a small business that has that person answering the phone that is not not someone that a customer would want to deal with, what are some sort of frontline tips that you would give that business owner? Or or maybe even the person answering the phone to make them better at what they do?
Absolutely nothing. Let me tell you a horror story. Several years ago, I happened to be talking to one of the big franchisors in the country. And she and I now are good friends, so I can say that. And the woman on the phone was horrible. And my lady friend gets on the phone. I said, hi, what's going on? You know, we're talking about speaking at her conference. I said, by the way, I don't know who's on your phone, but man, she's bad. And there's dead silence. It was her daughter.
Uh-oh.
So I don't do that anymore, but, and I said, well, I apologize, but she really doesn't represent you very well. And I don't know how I got out of it. It was so long ago. I wanted to bury myself. But about 6 or 8 months later, phone rings and it's my lady friend. And she says to me, I am on bended knees, ready to kiss the ring. You were so right. Can you come speak at my meeting and help our franchisees?
Wow.
So she was a big woman. You probably know the name. And again, I keep that from her. I said, well, we don't have to tell this story out public with names, but you really did a nice thing for me and I appreciate it. But so when people are bad on the phone, I simply write them off. Where I get business is when our phone rings, somebody wants to improve their communication skills, internally or externally. That's when our phone rings. And it's hard for me to go in and say, because I did it once and I got a whole business, it's hard for me to go in and say, hey, your lady or your guy that answered the phone really sucked. I'm not able to do that anymore. So what I can do is say, give us some tips now that if you think you use some skills, you know, let me give. And the first thing is what we call be business friendly. You know, people say, well, I'm very professional. Well, professional just means you get paid. Okay. That's all professional means. It means you are a paid actor. It means you are a paid employee. It means you are paid.
You've given up your amateur status. You will no longer be in the Olympics. Yes.
But you can be what we call business friendly. And when you take out friendly from business friendly, what do you have? You just got strictly business, which is same old, same old. So if you want to stand out of that gray mass of average, if you want to get out of that, what everybody else does, start with, sounds so trite, but it's so important. And you can hear it now. What am I doing now? I'm smiling, right? Mm-hmm. You can hear it in my voice. And then radio is radio, and you know you've done radio probably all your life. You can deliver a funeral commercial with a smile in your voice. I mean, you need to have a smile in your voice when you answer that phone.
Yep. Everyone can hear it.
They can. And then there's always that dork that says, they can't hear a smile. Well, yeah, you can. Okay. So I stopped arguing with that point.
My first radio job, Nancy, there was a big sign in the studio that the general manager had put in the studio that said smile.
Yep. Yep.
And then in small letters below it, it said, it's the second best thing you can do with your lips. But that's another story. But every day we looked up and we saw this big sign that said smile. The second best thing you can do with your lips. There you go.
What station was that?
That was WSQR 1560 AM on the AM dial back in 19-something.
In Chicago?
Way out in the sticks. Way out in the sticks.
You know what's funny? We own two radio stations over the years, both FM stations, one in San Diego, excuse me, and one in St. Louis. And I worked at WGN many years ago and then went over to Edward Petrie and Company, which was a TV rep firm. To this day, I could name you all 90 TV stations we repped. Why, when somebody works in radio or television, we never forget call letters? What is that?
Well, you have to. You know, you have to think about it all day, right? Another quick story. For a while, I was working at two different radio stations at the same time.
I don't want to hear this. I don't think.
Boy, that's stress, right? Let's do not say the wrong call letters.
Right.
Do not say the wrong call letters. So, yeah, I hear you on that. I can't remember anything that happened last week, but I can tell you the frequency and the dial position and the call letters from every radio station I worked at 20 years ago. So.
And I believe most people in the industry can do that. And
it's
phenomenal to me that somebody says KOA. Oh yeah, Denver. I mean, I can just throw you out there.
It's muscle memory in your brain, I think. So.
Okay. Well, I'll remember to tell my husband that.
There we go. So
you're keeping track of the time. I'm having too much fun here. I know.
All right. Let's get back to some more tips. So we're talking business friendly and we're talking smile.
Right. And thank you for remembering that. Not that I mean ADD, but bottom line, the biggest tip I could leave, and that is the what you started the program with, is when somebody calls a company, what should they do? So let's give them the telephone doctor's best practices, if you will, for answering a telephone. You only need three things. And if you have a pencil, write them down. The first
Here
thing
we go.
What we call a buffer, and that's B-U-F-F-E-R. And buffer words can be a good morning, thanks for calling, happy Tuesday, Merry Christmas. I don't care what they are, but they need to be there. Answering a telephone without a buffer is considered cold and rude. I mean, you call it Mark Twain, Arby's, Subway. It's just cold and rude. So you need a buffer. Now, what do you use a telephone, Dr. Nancy? Well, thanks for asking, Jack. We use thanks for calling. Why do you use thanks for calling? Because I got tired of hearing at 5 o'clock at night, good morning. I don't know. So I came
Very
out.
Very true.
Yeah. I said to the ladies, the people that were answering, I said, why don't we use a generic thanks for calling? You'll never, never need to look at a clock again when you answer the phone.
Can't get it wrong.
So we use, you know, thanks for calling telephone doctor's office. This is Nancy. Stop. Nothing after your name. Nothing after your name. How can I help you? Is not necessary on initial greetings. You're there to help. That's why you answered the phone. I called my bank the other day. And you might have my bank. That's Mary. How can I help you? And I said, yeah, I got a statement here that isn't right. She said, well, I can't help you. I said, well, you can't
do it. You lied to me.
Yeah. So you don't need how can I help you. Now, that being said, if your mother taught you that, you'll still go to heaven and it's okay. You'll be okay, but it is not necessary. Two things happen when you use the telephone doctor's three-part greeting. Number one, it speeds what we call the rapport building process, and it just bonds up better. And number two, which is probably the most important, as soon as I say, hi, thanks for calling telephone doctor's office, this is Nancy, somebody says, well, hi, Nancy, this is Bob Smith. Well, hi, Mr. Smith, nice to meet you by phone. What's going on? Don't need to know them, but I've already got a rapport established.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I didn't go that too fast. I can go.
Nope. Got it.
You got it. Good.
Got it.
That's probably the best. And we got, you know, thousands of them in our little black box here. In fact, here's a, maybe one of your people listening would like to win a book.
Okay. Let's have
that. Okay. Well, what I will do for them is if they will email either you or me, give your email, or nancy@telephonedoctor.com, something they would like answered on a blog. And if we use that question, they will win a book.
Perfect.
Is that good?
Yeah, let's send them to nancy@telephonedoctor.com. Perfect.
N-A-N-C-Y, telephone doctor, is all one word, D-O-C-T-O-R.com spelled out. So I'm always interested in what they want to talk about. You know.
Excellent.
Versus what, you know, because I could stand up for, you know, 3 hours with no notes and talk about phone skills and communications and customer service. But every once in a while, somebody says, well, you didn't talk about cell phones. You didn't talk about, there's something for your audience.
Yes.
We have an article called The 5 Frustrating Cell Phone Phrases. That's hard to say when you've been drinking. The 5 Frustrating Cell Phone Phrases. And I will bet that people listening have one or more of those phrases on their phone as we speak. And I am willing to send you our article to remove those phrases and insert positive alternatives.
Okay, give us at least one of them.
I'll give you all 5.
Okay, let's
have it. The first one is when your voicemail says, hi, this is Bob, and I'm not here right now. Well, that's a hot one.
I mean, really?
You know, I won't say it's stupid, but it's just not very earth-shattering. The second one is, I'm sorry I missed your call. Well, you know, sometimes we're not. Sometimes it's that same person, and thank God we missed them.
I'm sorry I didn't pick up the phone.
Yeah, right. The third one is what I call the groaner, and that's when you say, oh, it just ran out of my head. Isn't that terrible? Oh, my God. Your call is very important to me. Well, then why aren't you there? So your call is, and I don't know why that just went on my mind for a moment. Your call is very important to me. Useless information. I know.
Right.
I'm a customer. I'm your mother. I'm a friend. I know I'm important to you. The third one you're going to say, or the fourth one you're going to say, well, Nancy, everybody's got this one. Why is it bad? Well, it's not bad, but everybody doesn't have it. I don't have it on my phone. My husband, Dick, doesn't have it on his phone. And I know people that don't have it on their phone. And that's when you say, go ahead and leave your name and number. and I will return your call as soon as possible. Well, what's wrong with that, Nancy? Everybody, well, what's wrong with it is your as soon as possible is different than my as soon as possible.
Right.
And we will never exceed anybody's expectations with as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the fifth one is we should leave some sort of secondary method to reach us. I think if you call my cell phone, it'll give you my 800 number and my email in case you don't want to leave a message. So you need an escape valve, we call it. But that article is available on nancyfriedman.com free, and you can download it and pass it around.
You know, something I used to do in my early sales days, I used to say on the voicemail, I would say, and tell me if this was bad or not, because maybe I should use this again. But I used to say, especially for customers calling in on this one specific line, I would say, leave a voicemail and I will call you back within 1 hour.
Well, Jack, what happened?
And I held myself to that all day long. I never leave more than an hour, but is that too much?
Well, it's sometimes you won't be able to handle that expectation, and then you're the letdown. So
yeah.
As soon as possible is not good. We say within 24 hours, within one working day.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably better. So
it's a little easier, under promise, over deliver. But I do have funny thing here. I just had some eye surgery, and the voicemail on the eye doctors, I don't know how to tell them or not. She says, I'm afraid there's nobody here to help you. Probably the worst I've ever heard.
I'm terrified.
I'm afraid.
What's going on there?
All our lines are busy. Why are you afraid? I mean, and like I say, I don't try and help anybody without being asked anymore. When I do, my husband's with me and I give him a tip. My husband says, stop trying to train people one by one by one.
Right,
by one.
Right. No one's paying you to help this person. Just stop. We're coming up on time, Nancy, and I know you had a bit of a hair joke you wanted to share with us.
Well, it is about a bald woman, as a matter of fact. She had three hairs on her head. She had three hairs on her head, but she was always very positive. She never let it get her down. And she looked in the mirror one day. She said, no, I have three hairs. I'm going to make a braid. So she pulled them back and she made a braid. Oh, she was thrilled. Everybody complimented her. She woke up the next day, there were only two hairs left on her head. She said, oh my God, what will I do? Oh, I know, I'll part it down the middle. I'll have a piece on each side. Oh, that looked beautiful on her as well. And she went out and everybody said hello and liked her. And the third day she woke up, there was one hair on her head. My gosh, what will I know? I have a rubber band, I'll make a ponytail. So she made a ponytail. And the fourth day she got up, there was nothing on her head. And she looked up, she says, thank God I don't have to mess with my hair today.
I can relate to that.
You can edit that out if you don't like it.
No, absolutely not. There's no, this show. There's no editing on this show. Okay. Come on now.
All right.
Nancy Friedman, the telephone doctor. Thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio today. If people would like to connect with you, check out some of your blogs or maybe talk to you about an upcoming session, where is the best place that we can send those folks?
Well, I appreciate that. Obviously, the website is great, nancyfriedman.com. The phone is 314. We are Central Time in St. Louis, 314-291-1012. Now, when you say a phone number on voicemail or on the radio, you say it twice and slowly. So that's 314-291-1012. But I'm probably, like most people that want to be reached, easily reached, LinkedIn, Twitter, what else do I use? Facebook. Jerry Darnell told me that I should be more active on Facebook with franchising. So trying to do that.
If anyone knows about being active on Facebook in regard to franchising, it would be the mayor of franchising, Jerry Darnell. So
it's funny.
So shout out to Jerry. Hey, Jerry, thanks for always listening and supporting Social Geek Radio as well.
If he listens to this, I'm sending him a box of candy.
Jerry, box of candy, half a box of candy coming your way.
You get the other half.
There you go. Nancy Friedman, telephone doctor, thanks so much for stopping by Social Geek Radio today, and we will see you very soon.
You are a blessing. Thank you, my friend. Happy days.
And thanks for joining us, everyone. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.